Merry Christmas! I am so glad you're all here today. This is our first of three Christmas services right now, so I'm glad we've never done a 3 p.m. service before. Are you guys, like, did you eat a late lunch or early lunch? Or are you going to eat a late dinner? I don't know how this works, but I'm ready to eat at any moment of any time, so I'm just thinking about food. It's Christmas Eve. Anyway, why don't we get down to this sermon? I'm really glad you joined us today. So a number of years ago, it was like the week before Christmas, and I decided to take my kids to Exploration Place. Show of hands, who's all been to Exploration Place? Down at Wichita? Yeah? Okay. So if you don't know, it's really cool. Like they got this giant mouth thing, and my kids, you get to explore a mouth and what that's like. One of my kids, I finally did what I've wanted to do for a long time. I arrested them, and I thought about bringing that display back with me. This is a bunch of years ago. We had a good time, and I'm driving home. You know, the only thing about Exploration Place is that it's just a little bit expensive. And so I was kind of like, oh, that's a lot of money. But, you know, it's like Christmas. I'm happy to love on my kids and just let them have a good time. And we're driving down the road on the highway, and I hear, boom! I'm like, what is that? Well, the side window on our van just exploded. It just exploded out. We still to this day don't have any idea what happened. But I was just thinking to myself, wow, that trip to Exploration Place was already expensive. It just got a lot more expensive, like $500 more expensive is what it took to replace that stinking window. That's what I call an interruption in my life. A time interruption, a trip interruption, a money interruption. And I know you've had some interruptions in your life, haven't you? Right? You're trying to talk about something important and someone keeps butting in. It's none of their business. Or you're at your job and you're doing your job. You're doing really well. And then your boss comes in and they're like, I got a new project for you. Can you start on? And you're like, are you serious? I was just about to be done with this one. Or these are a little more serious interruptions. You're living your life and then someone you love gets struck with cancer. That's a big interruption. Or you lose your job and all of a sudden you're not sure how you're going to make it next month. Like, we've all been interrupted. We just give me a nod. You've been interrupted like that before enough, yeah? We've all been interrupted, and you got a sheet of paper in that chair in front of you. Would you grab that and write this down? Interruptions in my life can be disruptive and painful. This is the truth. They can be disruptive and painful. If y'all know that's true, would you just say, yeah? Right? That's true. And the crazy part is, sometimes God is the one who will interrupt your life. God's the one who's going to come in and interrupt your life. So now, you've got your own little plan. You got your own little life, and you're like, I'm having a great old time. I'm doing my thing. I got plans for my life. This is going to be good. And then God's like, hey, I want you over here, please. And you're like, excuse me? That's not what I was thinking about doing. Like, I got my job. I got my family. I got my goals. And God's like, hey, follow me. And God says, I want you to. And, you know, you can fill in the blank. And the question is like, are you going to follow God or not? I remember when my wife and I lived in California, and God spoke to us and told us to move to Salina, Kansas and start a church. And I was like, how about no? You know, like I had friends there. We loved it there. We were living good life. You know, we had our own thing going. Now, of course, today we're super glad that we did what God asked us to do. Like this is one of the best times of our life. But at that moment, that's what I wanted to do. And sometimes you don't want to do what God wants you to do either. Sometimes God might be like, hey, you need to forgive that person who messed with you. You need to root for the Denver Broncos. I know. God would never ask you to do that. I'm just joking. Okay. When God interrupts your life, you got these questions with you. Like, what is God going to ask me to do? Some of you might be thinking, why am I even at church? And if I do like start following God, like how am I going to have to change? Am I going to lose all this stuff that I built over the years? Is he going to? And at the same time, if you don't do what God asks you to do, we go to hell. This is a big dilemma, right? At some point, you're going to have to decide. All of us are going to have to decide. And here's the question. You can write it down. What do I do when God interrupts my life? What do I do when God interrupts my life? If you don't listen to this tonight, if you don't get this, you're going to try to do your own life, your own way, not allow God to interrupt your life. And God might be trying to tell you something important, and you might not hear it. You might miss it, and you might miss what could become a massive blessing in your life. But if you get this today, if you really hear this, You could literally see God at work, follow his direction for your life, and receive some blessings in your life without fearing what God's going to ask you to do. You could receive some blessings from God that you never would have gotten otherwise. So please, grab your Bible. They're in that chair in front of you. Turn to page 783. Page 783, if you're using one of these Bibles here. It's Matthew chapter 1. If you've never used a Bible before, it's really easy. You find that big one. That's the chapter number. You're going to scroll down until you find that little tiny 18. That's the verse number, Matthew 1, 18. We're going to read from verses 18 through verse 25. This is the story of Mary and Joseph and how God told them that they were going to have Jesus and he's going to come save the world. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about, right? This is the Christmas story. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. So now he's going to quote a prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Okay, so picture this. Joseph is living his own life. He's having a great old time. He's like, "Man, I got me a girl. She's a hot girl. We're going to get married." Mary's like, "We're going to have a dream wedding." They're just doing, right? They're doing their own life. They're doing fine. They're having a great time. And then all of a sudden, Mary is pregnant through the Holy Spirit, right? God interrupts Mary's life. And Joseph is, I don't know about you. This is just my opinion as a guy. But if my wife came to me and said, "Honey, I'm pregnant." And I'm like, "But we haven't." And she's like, "It's a miracle." "Oh, really?" Nope. Right? That is, I would not accept that. Would you accept that? Heck no. I wouldn't believe that. That'd be hard. Now, if the Bible was a science book only, we would say, okay, scientifically, this is not true. But anytime God gets involved, we know anything is possible. Give me a nod if you know that's true, right? When God gets involved, anything is possible. The problem is Joseph doesn't know God is involved yet. He's thinking Mary just cheated. He was trying to live his life. And back then, they were only engaged, but even to break off your engagement, you actually had to get a divorce in that culture. So he's like, "I'm going to divorce her," which is totally understandable. His life got messed up. So he changed his plans. He's like, "Nope, I am done. I'm moving on to a different ladder." He's going to divorce her, which is totally understandable. Let's look at the verses here, just piece by piece. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This is what we call a holy interruption, okay? The Holy Spirit was involved here in Mary being pregnant. This is an interruption to their life. And actually, let's write this down. Joseph and Mary's life was severely interrupted by an angel announcing God's plans. A lot of places make this part of the Bible super religious, super mystical. "And then an angel appeared to Mary, and she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit." Okay, but Joseph was a carpenter, right? I mean, he's a practical dude. I know some carpenters, and none of the carpenters I know could actually be described as mystical guys. Okay, would you agree with me, right? Like all the carpenters, I just want you guys to be able to say, all the carpenters I know are like, "Hey, let's just get the job done." And if you're like, "Is there anything spiritual about what we're doing?" They're like, "What's that mean?" You know, like Joseph was a carpenter. So when Mary's like, "I'm pregnant through the Holy Spirit," like, look, Joseph believed in God, but he's got to be confronted by something to actually believe this is true. So what happens here? After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is God revealing his plan to Joseph. God can reveal his plan in a lot of different ways, but because Mary being pregnant with as a virgin is extremely unusual, would you agree with me on that? Extremely unusual, God confirms it to Joseph in an extremely unusual way. God is saying, okay, I'm going to do something miraculous here, but Joseph, I don't want you to just believe it for no reason. Joseph's a very practical carpenter, and so God gives him a very real thing to believe, an angel showing up and talking to him. Now, you might ask yourself, well, God's never had an angel show up and talk to me. Well, that's probably because he didn't ask you to marry a virgin who was pregnant. How does God speak to you? Well, there's at least four ways that God might speak to you. First is through the Bible. When you read scripture and you understand the Bible, you're going to understand what God's asking you to do, period, end of statement. The more you understand the Bible, the more you'll know exactly what God wants for your life. A lot of people come to me with questions about, what does God want me to do about this? And we'll just flip open to a Bible page and it says right here what God wants you to do in that situation. Second thing is your gut. I would call this your conscience, okay? Your conscience, your gut knows what God wants a lot of times. I mean, how many of you have been in a situation and you could have gone left or right, but you just had this gut feeling, you just knew intuitively you had to go right, even though there's no logical reason to tell you which way to go, right? That's your gut, that's the conscience. That might even be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, the only thing that's dangerous about this one is until you really give your life to Christ and start to grow, your gut is gonna tell you the wrong stuff half the time. Your conscience isn't correct until you give your life over to Christ. A third way to know what God wants is that a preacher's gonna tell you. I mean, God gave teachers and preachers and leaders in the church for a reason. So I'm gonna stand on stage tonight, I'm gonna tell you something, or on Sunday morning, someone's gonna tell you something, and you're gonna have to be challenged, am I gonna listen to what God is saying here or not? A fourth way is your godly jerk friends. Jerk friends, we define a jerk friend as someone who loves you enough to tell you what you don't want to hear, right? They're gonna tell you the truth whether you want it or not because they're your friend and they love you. This jerk friend can change your life. You get involved in our growth groups at the church. You get involved with people who are mature in Jesus Christ, and they're going to show you how to live. Now, these are just four quick ways that God might speak to you. And just like you, when God speaks to you, Joseph's going to have to decide, do I follow my plan to divorce Mary and get on with it, or do I follow God's plan? The reality is, a lot of times, we try to do both. But you can't have your plan at the same time you follow God's plan. It works maybe for a minute, but it won't work this way for very long. Are you following me? Right? Sometimes you're like, well, I'm going to do things my way, and I'll also go to church, and I'm going to, do this on the side, but I'll, tell people I feel bad about it, and you're trying to live life both ways. You can't have it your way and God's way. You have to, let's write this down. If my life plan isn't lined up with God's plan, then I can't have both. You just can't do it both ways. Joseph can't have both. He either has to marry the girl or divorce the girl. Way too often, we try to do both. And it might work for a minute, but it won't work for long. God's going to interrupt your life, and you are going to have to make a choice whether you want to follow your plan or his plan. Someone sent in a message. They said, so many OSHA violations. Merry Christmas, government. Okay. Someone also sent in a question. Jesus probably wasn't actually born on December 25th, so why do Christians celebrate it then? Also, isn't Christmas just a Christian rebrand of pagan winter festival? Okay, we answer this a lot on our radio channel, Truth Revolution. I'm not going to go into all of it now, but it wasn't entirely pagan as people would have you believe, but at the very, very least, let's just look at it this way. 2,000 years ago, Christians decided to celebrate Jesus' birth on the day that a rival religion celebrated their God. And guess who won? Right? Jesus' birth won. Anytime our culture is doing something wicked, we Christians try to do something good on that day. And good is going to win. good as one. It doesn't mean it's wrong to celebrate Jesus' birth on 25th. We don't know when his birthday was. The Bible doesn't tell us. It was probably in late spring or summer because the Christmas story says they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Well, the only time they kept watch over the flocks at night out in the fields was during late spring and early summer. At other times, it would have brought them into their homes. So, December 25th is a fine day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And every Sunday is a great day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though he wasn't resurrected every single Sunday. We celebrate these things as a reminder to us to stick with God, not because we know the exact day. All right, let's go back to this. So Joseph is going to have to make a decision whether he's going to obey God or not, just like you. The next verse says, this is the angel talking to Joseph again. He's explaining to Joseph why it's important. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So it's like, okay, Mary's going to give birth and Jesus is going to save people from their sins. This is a huge thing. And then he quotes the prophet Isaiah. Check this out. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Okay, this is Isaiah the prophet. And here's the quote. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay. So they're going to give birth, and the angel tells Joseph about this being saved, and the Bible tells us that this is a fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah. Now, put in a thinking caps for a second. We're going to go backwards 700 years. Jesus is born, comes to earth, but 700 years earlier, there was a guy named King Ahaz. And this is the prophecy that we're talking about. So King Ahaz was panicking. He was a king in Israel or Judah. He is freaking out because multiple kings are coming together to attack him. By all human purposes, it looks like the guy's going to lose his kingdom. He's going to lose everything. It's really scary. And so the prophet Isaiah comes to him and gives him a sign of hope. He says, the virgin will... So God says, go to Ahaz and tell him this. And this is Isaiah chapter 7. Say to him, be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these other kings. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, or they will call him Emmanuel. So, 700 years before Jesus, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz. He says, even though you're being attacked, even though you're in trouble, even though everyone knows you're going to die, I'm going to step in and save you. A virgin's going to give birth, and that child is going to grow up and save you from death. And that promise wasn't just a promise to Ahaz. No, this was a promise that was fulfilled a little bit in Ahaz's life, but was meant primarily for the entire world in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you following along right now? A lot of times, this is how prophecies would work back in the Old Testament. God would give a prophecy. It would be fulfilled in a little way at that time, and then in a big way through Jesus later on. And this big prophecy applies to all humans from all times in every place. Because of our sin, we all deserve death. Just like Ahaz was going to die, we all are going to die. God's going to come. He's going to judge the world, and we're in trouble. But God sends his son, Jesus Christ, through a virgin to save all of us from certain death and judgment. That's why it's so important we understand the gospel message. The gospel message, yes, Jesus came to earth on Christmas Day. Jesus grew up. He loved us enough to die for our sins on the cross. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later. That's Easter. From Christmas to Easter, you have to understand the plan was always for Jesus to die for you. And the plan was always for Jesus to raise from the dead because God loved you that much. 700 years before Jesus, the plan was for him to die for your sins. Because everyone, if we're all guilty of sin. If you know that you've been guilty of sin in the past, would you just go ahead and say yes? And if anyone beside you didn't say yes, we'd just poke them and be like, liar, right? Come on, we all know it. We all know we've done some stupid stuff. And that's why it's important for us to recognize it and acknowledge it. We got those red cards in that chair in front of you. Today, if you're recognizing that you need to give your life to Christ, I'd encourage you to decide to get baptized, to follow him. You can fill out that red card, put on the back that you want to get baptized. And Carrie, who was up here talking to you earlier, she'll get a hold of you and talk to you about what does it mean to get baptized and when should we do this? And she'll go through it with you. But let's get back to the scriptures. So this is our story from today. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save their people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God, okay, God with us. So there's some meaning there. The angel will call him, you will call him Jesus, and this means God with us. This person is going to be God in human form. Now, all Jewish people would have known that quote from the prophet Isaiah. Joseph would have known that quote. Oh, wow. So when the angel's talking to Joseph, and the angel's talking about he's going to save their people from their sins, and you're going to call him Emmanuel, Joseph's mind's going to be spinning going, I know what these Bible verses mean. So Mary's pregnant. She's still a virgin. God's coming to save us. The interruption in Joseph's life wasn't just a disruption. It was God doing construction to do something big and save the world. This is major work through the life of Mary, major work through the life of Joseph to save the world. Let's write this down. God's interruption. Ooh, come on, come on, come to me. All right. God's interruption is not a disruption, it's construction. Are you seeing the difference between these two things, right? God's interrupting Joseph's life, but he's not disrupting it in a bad way. He's constructing something very important. Joseph is a carpenter, right? So carpenters would drive things into pieces of wood. And when you drive something, a nail or a screw into a piece of wood, you're interrupting the natural course of that wood, right? And you're splitting it apart. You're tearing it apart on the inside. You're pulling stuff out of it. You're twisting it. You're bending it. You're shoving metal down inside of it. But it's not a disruption. It's construction. If you're building a home or a school or a church, you're doing something good here. But to construct something good in your life, God always has to do some work that you might not enjoy at first. To cause something to grow and change, God must drive something new into your life that will cause a change in you. When God made Mary pregnant, he interrupted Joseph and Mary's life big time. Wouldn't you agree with that? Big time. I mean, don't get me wrong. When God interrupts your life, it can feel like a disruption. When the Bible says, hey, forgive that person who wronged you, ooh, man, I don't know if I like that one. When the Bible says, or the preacher says on Sunday morning, stop having sex with a person you're not married to, that was a hard one to take. You even took the bit out of my drill. Like, that was not enjoyable at all, right? What if you played the Powerball and you won $1 billion today? Like, that'd be a nice little interruption in your life, wouldn't it? Not all interruptions are bad, right? Some of them are things you would invite into your life. You would take it. So when you let God into your life and you stop pushing him away, you're going to feel interrupted. Joseph felt disrupted at first, but it wasn't actually a disruption. Yes, he had to stop going his way, but God wants to build something great in you. I know that you know something in your life that God wants to change. I bet every person here has something that you know God would change in you if he could. Or something that you must change if you actually want to follow God for real. It's not a bad disruption. It might feel that way, but it's God doing construction. Why are you so scared? Why are you hanging on to that? Look at what Joseph did. This is the next section. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. And he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to the son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So Joseph was going his own way, doing his own thing. God said, hey, I want you to marry the virgin. He's like, at first he didn't know, but okay, I'm going to do this. And he interrupted his own life. He allowed it. And when did the Bible say he obeyed? When Joseph, what? What's the words there? Thank you. I appreciate that. How about everybody? When Joseph, what? When Joseph woke up, he didn't wake up, have some coffee, think about it, go on a vision quest, come back and say, okay, Mary, I think I'm ready. When he woke up, he did it right away. Let's write this down. Joseph obeyed God's construction in his life immediately. He immediately did what God wanted. What would have happened if Joseph said no? What would have happened if Joseph said no? I'll tell you what. If Joseph said no, God still would have saved the world through Jesus. He just would have done it without Joseph. And Joseph would have missed the purpose for his life. What if you say no to God? you got to decide today, no more messing around. If you say no to God, God's still going to get his stuff done, but he's going to do it without you. And some of you have been messing around on the wrong ladder, acting like it's okay for far too long. Some of you have been climbing your own ladder. You're not even sure what God wants for you because you're unwilling to even turn around and look. You have to stop thinking of God as a problem in your life. You have to start hanging on to what it is that God wants you to have and not hanging on to your own little plans. You just never know. Even the little things that God wants you to do could change your life. You know, remember my broken window in the van, right? That stupid little $500 interruption. Here I am, like 10 years later, still talking about it because it's a good example of God interrupting your life. I thought at the time, this is stupid. But I took a picture because I knew God could do something with it. I took a picture because that's a moment, right? You get those moments, take a picture. Remember, write it down. You never know what God is going to use. You agree with me on that? Even in the little things, obey and trust that God is doing something big. Let God interrupt your life. God's interruption is not a disruption, it's construction. So let's talk about practical, how this works out. Here are some possible interruptions to your life. Going to church. You know, maybe for some of you, even just going to church on Sunday is going to be a major interruption. You don't get to sleep in like you want to. You got to listen to me talk every now and then. That guy's got weird shoes. I don't want to listen to him. You know, but like, this might be an interruption that God's using to do something powerful in your life. How about stopping an affair? There's someone in here today, most likely, who's having an affair right now, and you need to end it. That needs to be interrupted. How about using your time for God's plans instead of just your own plans on the couch at home? Accepting forgiveness. Some people need to accept the forgiveness that God's offering them today. How about giving forgiveness? Stop holding on to that bitterness or being in a growth group that we're doing here. That's going to be an interruption to your life. They meet once a week for an hour and a half. Oh, not that big of an interruption, but really, it could be life-changing. Just let the interruption happen. What's God going to do with it? How about inviting someone to church or praying for someone? How about giving up an ungodly relationship that you've been in or loaning money to someone who's in need? These are all things that would interrupt your life but could make a major difference if you let God do it. Okay, I'm going to skip those. All right, so let's kind of finish this out. You know, you start going your own way, and you can do things your own way. It feels good if you're doing life your own way, but the moment, like you're having here today, the moment you realize that God might have a different plan for you, you've got to shift to what God wants for you. You can't keep going your own life in your own direction for long without suffering by missing what God has for you. So here's a question that we want to ask. Have I treated God as an interruption or disruption? And how will I let God do construction in my life? That's a question for you. How will you let God do actual construction in your life? You cannot have your plan and God's plan at the same time if they're going in different directions. God's interruption is not a disruption, it's construction. I want to invite you back to our church on Sunday and the next Sunday and the next. I actually would challenge you to at least try coming here. If you're not normally here on a Sunday, try coming here for 6 Sundays in a row. Just try to line your life up with God's life and just see what happens. For I know eventually you're going to have to decide to go with God instead of just your own plan. But what's cool is when your plan gets lined up with God's plan and it's going the same direction, it actually feels like you're doing what you want and it's the thing that God wants for you at the same time. And that is one of the best feelings in the world, doing what God wants when you enjoy it. Just imagine that you line up your life with God so well that everything he wants for you is exactly what you want too. And you don't have to fight God. You don't have to worry about being judged by God. You're just moving in the right direction the whole time, enjoying the entire ride. That's what God wants for you. That's what I want for you. So I'm going to pray tonight before we go that everybody here will be able to get in line with God's plan for their life. Lord God, we love you. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us to line up our lives with you. Help us to give up our own plans and own way of thinking so that we can do things your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas!